Proverbs chapter 4. This is God's word. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way, for they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet. And take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. First point, verses 1 through 4. You are not too young to learn wisdom. You know, sometimes when you're a kid, you just feel like, well, that's for grown-ups. I'll get that when I get older. Yeah, I can always change later. Sure, you know, someday I need to straighten up. Right now I'm a kid. Let me have fun. I remember when I was a kid. Believe it or not, I was a kid. Once upon a time, long, long ago, in the previous millennium, I was a child. We're now living in an age when people are able to look at people like me and say, wow, you were alive in the 1900s, weren't you? It's true, I was. Way back in the 20th century, when we used to talk about the 20th century as if it was modern times, because it was back then. I remember being a kid. I remember it. I'm not so old that I can't remember being a kid. I remember being a kid. I was just telling someone recently that one of my vivid memories that made an impact on my life was sitting in church while my father was preaching and trying to sit still and be quiet and not disrupt others and feeling as if the service was just going to last forever. It was torture to me. I was just a little boy, and I couldn't make noise, and I couldn't run around, and I had to just sit there and be quiet. Couldn't even take a pencil and go back and forth because that made noise. Okay? And my older brother, 6 years older than I was, leaned over and whispered in my ear, "The time will go more quickly if you listen to what he's saying." Oh, that was a new thought. It had never occurred to me that he might actually be following a linear train of thought, and that if I would listen, there would be interesting things, and I would get caught up in the message, and it would actually go more quickly. So I tried it, and it worked. And so beginning when I was very small, I would listen, and lo and behold, the time just flew by. I was actually interested. My dad was a good preacher. I just hadn't figured that out yet. Okay? But when I started listening, I began learning. There were things that he was saying that were important to me. And I remember vividly things that my dad told me in childhood. It was Christmas morning. I was sitting on the living room floor playing with something I'd just gotten. I think it was a miniature train. And I was playing with something, and my dad was sitting on the sofa reading his Bible, which was a typical thing for dad to do. And all of a sudden, he said in a voice too low and too commanding for me to imitate, "I don't have the voice that my father did. My father, if you can imagine this voice, about an octave lower, okay, just way down there. He was a basso profundo, marvelous singer with a tremendous bass voice that just would make your eyes pop. Dad always spoke. He tried to get me to talk like this. He'd say, Sonny, lower, lower." I thought he just meant more quiet, but that didn't work either. But he said, "Jim." "Yes, sir." I mean, let me tell you, when you hear something in that voice, it does get your attention. It's a very commanding tone. "Son, if you ever tell a lie, I want you to come to me immediately and confess." "Okay, yes, sir." "Will you do that?" "Yes, sir." Let me tell you, from that point on, it was like I couldn't lie. Because I'm going to have to tell Dad. So I might as well just go ahead and tell the truth. I'm so glad he told me that. You have no idea how many messes I've avoided by telling the truth. It turns out that God says he hates lying and that all liars are going to be thrown into hell. Well, I don't want that. But, you know, the alternative is to tell the truth. Tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Okay? But I began listening, and I began learning the importance of telling the truth, the importance of having courage, knowing that you can depend on God, and that doing the right thing and suffering for it is far, far, far better than doing the wrong thing and suffering for it. Why do we do the wrong thing? We're trying to avoid suffering. People don't do bad stuff because they're hoping to really get hurt. You know, that's just not what people do. You can learn that while you're young and realize, if I do the wrong thing, I'll get hurt. If I do the right thing, I may get hurt. But it's much better to be hurting because you did the right thing, which you're going to be rewarded for by God, than to be hurting because you did the wrong thing and then you're going to be punished. So I've already gotten hurt and now I'm going to get more consequences? Yeah, because God loves you and he disciplines those he loves. Can't we just let the fact that I fell down and busted my lip because I was up on the chair that you told me not to stand on, can't we just let that count as my punishment? No. Because you were going to get a cookie. But I told you you were going to have to wait until after the meal. And instead, you decided to sneak in there when you didn't think I was going to find you and stand up on the chair and reach for the cookie. and eat one when you're not supposed to. And so now you're not going to get one after the meal. No. That's a natural consequence. You need a little more than that. You need to know that you've lost the reward that comes with obedience. You don't have to be grown up to learn that. So whatever age you are right now, some of you are saying, well, I'm 47. Is that too young? No. You are not too young to learn wisdom. Okay? And that's the thing he says in these opening verses. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live. Got it? So now, whatever age you are, you're not too young to learn wisdom. Get hold of it. Listen. Learn. Don't think, well, I'll do that later. Well, I can change later. No. Now. Now's the time. Verses 5 through 9. Wisdom is costly, but the rewards are more than worth it. Wisdom is costly, but the rewards are more than worth it. Have you ever saved up your money to buy something that you wanted? Have you ever done that? I have. Numerous times over the years. There's been something that I wanted and I didn't have the money for it, and so instead of borrowing the money, I began saving. And I saved, and I saved, and I saved, starting when I was a kid. We lived on a road out in the country when I was in elementary school. And people back then were just nasty littering. They'd just drive down the road eating and throw stuff out the window. I mean, it was just nasty. In order to try and encourage people to collect up some of the litter, they put a little reward on the bottles. It was 2 cents for an empty soda bottle. It was 5 cents for one of the larger empty soda bottles. And so I could walk from our house to the corner store and pick up enough bottles along the way to buy myself a snack. Okay? And that was, on many lazy days, my occupation for some part of that day. I would go out and say, you know, I'm gonna walk up to Red's. You got any money? No, but I will. And I'd walk along and I'd pick up a bottle and I'd pick up another bottle and I'd pick up another bottle and I would have enough to buy a 5 cent candy bar and have a penny left over for a piece of gum. Yes, this was back in the previous millennium. You could get things for 5 cents and 10 cents that were full of sugar and going to do bad things to your health. And they were so much fun when I was a kid. So I used to do that. But then I began to see some things that I wanted and I didn't have the money for it. And I would collect the bottles and I would go to Red's and I would turn them in and I'd get my money and I'd look at all those sugary snacks and I'd think, no, I'm saving this. I'd put it in my pocket and go home. Next day I'd get out there and I'd walk, and maybe there wouldn't be enough bottles to get very much, but I'd walk all the way to Red's, and instead of spending my money at Red's, I was just collecting money from returning bottles. Oh, those were the days. I remember in seventh grade, after we'd moved up to Montreat, I would go in and I would, for 10 cents, buy a little box of matches. It would be a box of boxes of matches, packs of matches. You could get that for 10 cents, and then I'd go out there on the college campus and sell those for twice what I'd paid for them. And they knew they could buy some down at the store, but it was like, you know, I mean, it's just a couple of cents. And it is just a couple of cents, but it adds up. You get a couple of cents here and a couple of cents there, a couple of cents here and a couple of cents there, and pretty soon we're talking dimes. Okay? And I mean, I would look for ways to try and earn some money. I would try and be entertaining. I would say, you know, buy a pack of matches, prevent forest fires. I would try and make it appealing and humorous and so forth, and I would save. But I'll tell you something. I've made some good purchases in my life, and I've made some bad purchases in my life. I have bought things and then realized, oh, that was dumb. I spent to get something that's not worth it. Wisdom will cost you, but it's worth it. It will pay greater dividends than anything you invest. If you will pursue wisdom and understanding, seeking to see things from God's perspective, seeking His mind, that's what wisdom is all about. It's learning to see things from the perspective of truth. How does God see it? What does God say about it? So when you look at things from God's perspective that He has revealed to us in His Word, you have a treasure that is worth more than anything else you could have invested that in. It will reward you. The rewards are worth it. Look again at verses 5 through 9. Get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget my words or swerve from them. Don't forsake wisdom and she will what? Protect you. Love her and she will what? Watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Wisdom is costly. You have to make sacrifices. You have to say no to what a lot of other people are saying, trying to get you to do. But if you esteem her, she will exalt you. If you embrace her, she'll honor you. She'll set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. That sounds like a good payoff, doesn't it? In other words, you win because you went after wisdom instead of after the foolishness of this world. Verses 10 through 13 continues to talk about the rewards. It says that wisdom brings safety and success. Wisdom brings safety and success. Verses 10 through 13. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Look at that, verse 13. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Guard it well. I mean, that's pretty serious. Three different ways he says the same thing. Don't lose it. I've told some of you before the story of being bitten by a snake the summer I turned 16. It was in my cabin. I was working at a summer camp right on the border of North Carolina and Virginia. We were on a peninsula that went out into a 55,000-acre lake, which is a big lake. And there was this snake in my cabin up on the bunk next to mine in my towel. And it was, you know, it was like, wow, what's this? It was a large snake. But I looked at it and I immediately thought about what I knew concerning snakes. It is not a copperhead. I know copperheads. I've killed lots of copperheads. It's not a copperhead. It is not a rattlesnake. Not only does it not have rattles, it's not got the coloring. This is just a big black snake. It's not a coral snake, because it's a big black snake. So it doesn't have those colored stripes. So, if it's not a copperhead, and it's not a rattlesnake, and it's not a coral snake, then it's a non-poisonous snake, because there are only three types of poisonous snake in North America, I said to myself. So I got the snake and I began trying to capture it, put it in my little cloth laundry bag because I thought, you know, this would be a really cool thing. When the campers come in this afternoon, I'll be able to show them that I've got this great big snake. And so I grab this thing, I'm putting it down in the bag, and as I'm pushing it in this way, it's coming up my arm this way to get out of the bag before I can get my hand out. And, I put it in there several times, and at one point it came out a hole in the bottom of the bag. I hadn't realized I had a hole in the bottom of the laundry bag, but the snake found the hole and went through it. So I literally, this is a true story, I got my needle and thread and sewed the hole closed. Okay? I had a little sewing kit. I'm always prepared. I had a sewing kit. I stitched up that little hole and then again tried to put it in there and it would just come back out. It was determined not to be trapped in that bag. So I went to get help. I got a couple of the other counselors in training, people not as mature and wise as I was, and I got them to come to the cabin and I told them there's a snake and I'm going to capture it and I'm going to make it a pet. And they were like, really cool. And they came in the cabin and they were like, that's a big snake. And I said, yeah, but it's non-poisonous. Remember, there are only three types of poisonous snake in North America. Okay? There's the coral snake, which is down really deep in the south, and this is obviously not a coral snake. And then there's just copperheads and rattlesnakes, and that's all there is. So this is a non-poisonous snake. And they said, well, I don't know, that really looks scary. And I said, look, I've handled this thing repeatedly. It's not a problem. And I reached for it to show them how safe it was to handle, and it bit me. Just bit me right on the hand. You know the first words out of my mouth? When it bit me? Cotton mouth. There aren't three kinds of poisonous snake in North America. There are four kinds that are native to North America. I knew that. But I forgot it. I let go of wisdom. You see, I grew up at high elevations in Western Carolina where the copperhead is numerous and the rattlesnake is numerous, but the cottonmouth moccasin doesn't live there. It's too cold. They just don't go up that high. They live down in lower elevations like the eastern part of North Carolina where I was, or down around Chattanooga where they call themselves the moccasins, okay, the mocks, right? I mean, that was a bit of understanding that I had, but I had done what? I had failed to hold on to it. I had let it go. I had not guarded it well, even though it was my life. So now I'm snake bit because of something that I knew, but I let go of. A piece of information. I didn't have to say, my goodness, this must be a poisonous snake. I'll have to look up and see what kind it is. I knew what kind it was the minute it bit me. The second it bit me, I immediately knew. Cottonmouth moccasin. Oh, yes. Bad snake. I've been bitten. Oh, no. Let me tell you something about wisdom. It's possible to forget what you know. You learned it, you were taught it, you recited it, you stood up here in front of the group and you recited the scriptures and you knew what it said and you understood it, we talked about it, you got it, yep, I got it, I understand, and then you forgot it. You just let it go. You got in a situation where the Word of God says this, but the crowd's saying that, and you went, yeah, I'm with you. Because you can't see God. And what these folks are saying sounds really appealing. And your old fleshly sin nature that you got to die to every day says, yeah, go with the crowd. Let me tell you something about the crowd. The crowd is going to hell. Oh, Pastor Wood, don't be judgmental. I don't think you should say that about the crowd. I know some very nice people in the crowd. I do too. That's what makes it so sad that they're going to hell. Why would you say something like that? That's harsh. Because Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction and many travel on it. Narrow is the way that leads to life and few people find it. Now, if Jesus says many are on this road, few are on this road, you tell me which one's the crowd. I'm just telling you, when the crowd is trying to get you to come and go with them, be careful. Because the crowd's going in the wrong direction. The bridge is out up ahead. They may look like they're having a ball, but they're about to go down in flames. Don't go that way. Hold on to instruction. Don't let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. And then you need to look at the next passage. Verses 14 through 19 talks about a path that is populated with a lot of people who are wicked. Again, Pastor Wood, using the word wicked to describe people, I just don't think that's right. Even if it's true, it's not good marketing. Okay? Well, I understand. But it's true. Whether it's popular or not, you can understand why people who are on the wrong road would not like to be called wicked and told that they're headed for destruction. I mean, that's not exactly what most people are hoping to hear. But it's true. And it is unkind not to tell folks the truth when it could save their life. So I think we just need to be, we need to be nice. We do need to be nice. I see somebody going down the road toward a cliff where the bridge is out, and anybody who keeps going that way is going to be destroyed. I'm just going to be kind and go, have a nice trip. That's not kind. That's not loving. That's saying that their life doesn't matter. That's saying that I couldn't care less if they're destroyed. That is not kind. So, we need to know that there are people, I know this is going to come as a shock to you, but there are people in this world who are actually bad people. They're actually wicked. I mean, they really are. I mean, they're not just like, you know, wicked on the outside, good on the inside. No, they are just wicked through and through. If you peel back that veneer of ugly meanness, you will find underneath a heart of stone. Now, that doesn't fit with our movies and our literature. You know, we like to have the story where, you know, he was always a mean guy and a bad guy, but then one day he saw a puppy that had a broken leg and his heart just melted and his whole life was changed because he took that puppy and he said, look at him. I've got to be nice from now on. We say, oh, and the music swells and we think, this is lovely. Because, see, down deep, it just took the right circumstance to get through to that good inner person. Because down deep inside, we're all good. No, we're not. No, we're not. And it's not just him. It's all of us. All of us. We're lost in sin. All of us were wicked people. Read Ephesians 2. We were like them under the dominion of the forces of darkness. So you either are wicked or you were wicked. I don't like either of those. I like to think of myself as a good person. Before I came to the ranch, my teacher told me that all people are basically good. She lied. That's harsh. It's just true. She may not have known she was lying. She may have just been repeating a lie that somebody had told her and she believed it. But people aren't basically good. We're basically sinful. Nobody has to teach little kids to sin. Parents don't say, okay, honey, today we're going to work on helping you learn to disobey. You know, tomorrow we'll talk about how to fool mommy. Okay? Because everybody needs to know how to lie. Nobody has to teach us to sin. It comes naturally to us. And so, please understand, there are wicked people in this world and they are on a road that leads to destruction and you don't want to set foot on it. Listen, verse 14. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked. Don't set foot on it. Not just don't walk there very far. You know, there's a bridge up ahead that's out. And Pastor Wood said, you know, you'd really get hurt if you go that way. Well, I'm just going to go down and take a look over the edge. No, don't set foot on that road. You'll get caught up in the traffic. Don't set foot on it. Verse 14. Don't walk in that way. Verse 15. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. Could he be more emphatic? Why is he being so repetitious? Because this is really important. Don't miss this. You don't want to go that way. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn shining ever brighter till the full light of day. What he's saying is if you do the right thing, it's going to get better and better and better and better. If you do the wrong thing, it doesn't get better. I know there's a motto out there right now, it gets better. Don't be discouraged. You may be feeling really down right now, but it gets better. Well, it depends on which road you're on. It depends on which road you're on. If you're traveling in the way of the wicked, it doesn't get better. It does not get better. Don't believe the posters and the movies and the songs. It doesn't get better. But that's not the only road you can be on. You can walk in the way of wisdom. You can believe what God says and do what God says. By His grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do what God says. And you will find that when you do, it gets better. It gets better. It really does. That's what he describes here. And then verses 20 through 27. Let your whole body be the servant of wisdom. He starts with your head. Don't let him out of your sight. And he ends up with your feet. Keep your foot from evil. And in between, he describes your mouth, your eyes, your ears, all of you. The whole person. And at the center of who you are, your heart. Okay? Guard your heart. Be careful what you give your affections to. Be careful what you fall in love with. Guard your heart. Because it is the wellspring of life. Everything else comes from there. So be careful. And notice. Listen closely to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they're life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Be careful what you say. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Be careful what you look at. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. I want you to say that with me. Take only ways that are firm. Say that again. Take only ways that are firm. One more time. Take only ways that are firm. I don't know if this will hold me or not. I think, don't do that. I grew up hiking in the mountains. Every now and then you'd come to where somebody had stretched a tree across a ravine or a stream. Sometimes it was about a 6-foot drop. Sometimes it was about a 60-foot drop, and that makes a difference. And you know, a lot of the time, you can walk out on those things, and you're okay. They'll hold you. I mean, a tree fell across. How convenient. Thank you, Lord. This is perfect. But sometimes, that tree's been there a long time, and it's rotting. That's why it fell across the stream, okay? It was rotten and full of decay, and now it's lying there saying, come, break your neck, okay? Well, I'm not sure. Bob, why don't you head across there and let's see how it does. You're resilient. Just we'll tell your mom what happened if you fall. If you're not sure if it's a safe path, don't go there. Don't take paths that may or may not be okay. I'm not sure if we ought to do this. The door's unlocked, but it's not our house. Don't go in. Well, you know, I'd be curious as to what's inside. Is it your house? Were you invited? No, but it's not breaking and entering if it's not locked. No, it's just trespass. Understand? If you're not sure if it's okay, don't do it. I don't know if we ought to be here. I don't know if we ought to be doing this. I don't know if we ought to be talking about this. I don't know. Take only ways that are firm. How clear is that? It's pretty clear. If you're not sure, don't. I've said so many of these things so many times that now my kids say them back to me. Especially my daughter. She is very fond of reminding me of what I've said. I'll say, I'm thinking, you know, I don't know if I ought to. She'll say, Daddy, if in doubt, don't. That's in one of my books. I learned that when I was a kid. Because you're not too young to learn wisdom. My parents used to say, if in doubt, don't. If you go in the closet and you go, I'm not sure if this shirt is fresh enough, then don't wear it. You want to, I mean, the food in the fridge. It's like, you know, well, I'm not sure how long this has been in here. If in doubt, don't. Only take paths that are firm. Is that clear? Well, it may not be poison. Don't do that. Don't do that. Only take paths that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. What a wonderful image. Now think about that for a moment as we close. Keep your foot from evil. There is a path of wickedness. Keep your foot from evil. You know what? I find that it is very hard for me to go places and not have my feet go with me. In fact, they usually lead the way. Right? I mean, I generally lead with my feet. Usually, they go before me. One at a time, but my feet go out there and then the rest of me follows. Okay, if you'll keep your foot from evil, the rest of you should be okay. Got it? So, well, I don't know if I ought to. Then just keep your feet away from there. Well, then I can't go. Exactly. Got it? So, what's the message? Well, I gave you about five. But we'll start with the first one again. You're not too young to learn wisdom. You're not too young to learn wisdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it's true. Thank you that it doesn't change. Grant that we would lay hold of it, that we would guard it as treasure, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.